Welcome to Rhetorical Roots and Media Future, How Podcasting Fits into the Computers and Writing Classroom. Episode 1, Overview and Definitions. Welcome to Rhetorical Roots and Media Future, How Podcasting Fits into the Computers and Writing Classroom. A multimodal project exploring podcasting as part of the writing class. You are listening to Episode 1, Overview and Definitions. This is a 7-episode podcast series with an interconnected web text published in Kairos, a journal of rhetoric, technology, and pedagogy. A full transcript of each episode is available on the related website or in the lyrics field of this MP3 file. I am Dr. Jennifer L. Bowie, your host for this series and a senior usability research analyst for the Home Depot website. I'm also a podcaster with a variety of podcasts, including Screen Space, a podcast about creating usable, accessible, effective, and efficient web, blog, and digital media design for the everyday and non-expert designer. In this episode, I first situate podcasting and this article. I next provide some general background information and definitions for podcasting. If you are very familiar with podcasting, you may want to skip the definitions and 101 part of this episode and move directly on to episode 2. Without further ado, let us begin episode 1 of Rhetorical Roots and Media Future, How Podcasting Fits into the Computers and Writing Classroom. Introduction. With an estimated 38.6 million United States listeners in 2011, podcasting is no longer an emerging technology. However, podcasting has not yet been incorporated into many writing or even computer and writing classrooms. This may be because, despite the popularity, podcasting is still a young media. But the newness of the media rarely stops those in computers and writing. Perhaps podcasting has not yet reached the popularity level in writing classrooms in the U.S. because podcasting does not yet fall into the category of writing as many see it. But podcasting has much in common with other genres and media in computers and writing. The focus in both areas, podcasting and computers and writing, on audience, content, purpose, tone, text production, style, and effective communication, not only mean that the goals are similar, but also that podcasting is a medium that may help us teach these concepts to our students. Podcasting brings us back to our rhetorical roots of spoken argument and text. Delivery becomes an important canon again, and the remaining 4 canons may be applied in ways common to both ancient rhetoric and modern multimedia. In this podcast article, I respond to Barbara Warnick's call on page 327 of Looking to the Future for, quote, a move away from print-centric criticism, unquote. I examine podcasting as a possible component of the computers and writing classroom. I start with a brief discussion of what podcasting is and provide explanations for the other terms that I use. If you are familiar with podcasting, you may want to skip my general podcasting discussion. So go to episode 2 or keep listening to see how I define podcasts. In episode 2, I provide a short review of limited empirical research on podcasting in classrooms and draw some more general scholarship on digital media. Next, in episodes 3 through 6, I address how podcasting may be used in classrooms to help students rethink the old writing concepts we have been teaching, such as the 5 canons and audience, tone, purpose, and context, in new ways, and consider how students may bring the lessons they learn from podcasting back into their print text writing. I draw on student work for examples of how students are learning through podcasting. In episode 3, I introduce the concept of rethinking the old and new ways and begin discussing the canon with invention. In episode 4, I discuss the next 2 canons, arrangement and style. I finish the canons in episode 5 with memory and delivery. In episode 6, I move on to other writing skills, audience, purpose, context, and tone. I wrap up the series in episode 7. In the transcript on the web text and the lyrics field of this podcast, I provide a full works cited and list of relevant links, so check that out. Podcasting 101 and definitions. Podcasting is a somewhat controversial term. The term podcasting was created in 2004, slightly after Adam Curry's iPodder software was first available to download and transfer podcasting files, according to Rob Welch and Moore Lafferty. The term is generally considered to be a portmanteau of iPod and broadcast. However, Danny Gregory, the first person to use the term, according to Morris and Teva, did not have the iPod in mind when considering the term. It has since been backronymed as personal on-demand broadcasting, or better yet, according to Morris and Teva, personal on-demand narrowcasting. Narrowcasting is a more accurate term as it refers to distributing content to a select, narrow audience, whereas broadcasting refers to delivering content to a wide audience, such as everyone who receives the TV or radio signal. Of course, what the term represents does not alone define it. Podcasts are episodic digital media files distributed over the internet. They are downloaded through web syndication, often RSS feeds or podcatcher software like iTunes. Normally, the files are assumed to be audio or video files, and many people think this is all a podcast is. While podcasts are generally audio or video files, they can be any type of file: PDFs, doc files, PowerPoints, rich text files, and more. These files are different than webcasts or audio or video posted online, in that they are normally distributed file-based downloads, and not streaming files accessed through a site such as YouTube or a blog. While closely related, podcasts are different from blogs and other digital media that can be subscribed to with RSS. Podcasts are designed to be delivered when published to the subscriber's computer, MP3 player, phone, or other device, whereas most blogs and other digital media are designed to be accessed through their site. Podcasts that have been delivered to a computer, MP3 player, phone, or other device can then be listened to or watched anytime and anywhere without internet access. However, blogs and other digital media a user subscribes to often cannot be accessed without an internet connection. Although the differences are blurring as media technologies advance and as many podcasts have corresponding blog sites, the two key differences of delivery and anytime, anywhere access still make the podcast distinct. Perhaps the most interesting aspect of podcasts, especially from an educational standpoint, is the time and location-shifted aspects of the texts. People may listen anytime, anywhere. They are not chained to a specific time or place. Since many podcasts may be listened to on an MP3 player or cell phone, there are increased opportunities to listen anywhere. Suddenly, students may access their texts while driving, running, doing chores, and so on, which increases the opportunities for learning. This is a key, especially for non-traditional students who may have additional time constraints. In this article, I focus on audio podcasts and sometimes video podcasts. I'm examining these two types of podcasts because they are the most common. They are also more distinct from other digital media than a podcast of a Word document or rich text file is, which are too similar to the paper texts our students create. In addition, audio and video podcasts are more closely related to each other and to the ancient rhetorical speeches, since the text is, at least in part, spoken. Plus, it is easier to focus on these two rather than the entire range of distributed media. Discussion of all possible file types is beyond the scope of this article and outside the scope of my experience with podcasts. From this point forward, whenever I say podcast, I mean video and audio podcasts specifically. In this text, I discuss two main types of classroom podcasts: teacher-produced podcasts and student-produced podcasts. While the terms are fairly self-explanatory, there are a few concepts necessary to explore. In both cases, these podcasts are created for or as part of the class. Teacher-produced podcasts are obviously created by the teacher, possibly in association with others, and are for the students. These may be recordings of the lectures, supplemental material, readings in podcast form composed by the teacher, and other various podcast texts the teacher created for the students. In the still limited scholarship on podcasts and education, generally, podcasts are of this type, teacher-produced, and are often recorded lectures. Student-produced podcasts are, not surprisingly, produced by the students and are often course requirements in some ways. These podcasts may be composed by a group of students or a single student, and may be informal and barely edited, like a journal entry or daily reading response, or very formal, polished texts, like the final written course paper. I focus on this type of podcast in the article, as it is through composing text, whether written, podcast, or in some other form, that our students learn the most. In addition, there is very little scholarship on student-produced podcasts. Another type of podcast is externally produced podcasts, which are not created for the class, but by outsiders not associated with the class and for other reasons. These podcasts may be required or recommended text for the class. One example may be the very popular Grammar Girl podcast, which I require a subscription to in several of my undergraduate courses. These are often good texts in that they are free and that the student may access them anytime, anywhere, with MP3 players and other devices. Also, these work well as examples of various rhetorical concepts like style and arrangement. While these may be strong additions to a writing class, my focus in this article is on student-produced podcasts. I discuss these three types and divide one of those categories into two various types in more detail in the companion piece to this text, Podcasting in a Writing Class, Considering Issues and Possibilities. As Shanker states on page 375 of Speaking on Record, quote, words such as writing, speaking, and talking are complex and polysemous, leaving no clear way to describe related but new activities, end quote. This issue is one I found problematic when discussing podcasts as texts. I found it hard to differentiate between these oral texts and the more traditionally visually accessed texts such as print texts, websites, blogs, wikis, and so on. While these more traditional texts are primarily visually accessed, they should not be lightly combined with other types of visually accessed texts, including paintings, photographs, and icons, texts that may not use words primarily or at all to communicate. What is important in these traditionally visually accessed texts and podcast texts is generally the primary form of communication is words. So I needed a term to differentiate the traditional visually accessed text from both the oral texts of podcasts and the visual and non-word-based texts of images. Thus, I focused on a key element in these more traditional texts, typography, and developed the term typographic-based texts to represent print texts, blogs, websites, wikis, and other visually accessed texts that use words as the primary means of communication. This ends my definitions of podcasting, classroom podcast types, and typographic-based text. Next, I will explain the literature on podcasting in education. This ends my definitions of podcasting, classroom podcast types, and typographic-based texts. Next, in episode 2, I'll explain the literature on podcasting in education. Do check out episodes 2 through 7 to find out more about how podcasting fits into the computers and writing classroom. In episode 3, I begin the discussion of rethinking the old and new ways and delve into invention. I discuss arrangement and style in episode 4 and finish the 5 canons in 5 with memory and delivery. In 6, I explore other writing skills, audience purpose, context, and tone. I wrap it up in episode 7 with my conclusions. These are all, of course, part of the multimodal text, Rhetorical Roots and Media Future, How Podcasting Fits into the Computers and Writing Classroom. This concludes the podcast article. I do hope you check out the companion piece, also published in Kairos, where I discuss the digital divide and technological literacy concerns with podcasts, provide a more detailed discussion on podcast types, offer some possible podcast assignments, and provide a quick tip for teachers incorporating podcasting. The companion piece, Podcasting in a Writing Class, Considering the Issues and Possibilities, is available at kairos.technorhetoric.net/16.2/praxis/Bowie. This multimodal text is published in Kairos, a journal of rhetoric, technology, and pedagogy. Please check out the full web text on Kairos at http://kairos.technorhetoric.net/16.2/topoi/Bowie. Full reference information, transcripts, and links are available in the web text and also in the lyrics field of this MP3. All student samples in this podcast were used with full permission. The music used in this podcast is 6 off Ghosts 1 by Nine Inch Nails, which is available under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike Creative Commons license. This text is licensed under a Creative Commons attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 3.0 United States license. Rights to the student samples are reserved by their authors. Please give me, Jennifer L. Bowie, and Kairos credit. Don't make any money off of this, and share any derivative works. Thanks for listening.